Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen, amen. Well, like I said, today we're taking a sidestep from the book of Colossians. For those of you that are just joining us, usually we go line upon line, precept upon precept, choose a book in the Bible, and we currently are in the book of Colossians, and we just build upon the principles of the Word of God. For the Christmas season, though, it's important that we stop and pause and take a moment and just take in the awe and the wonder of Jesus Christ, his birth, when he came. Today I want to talk to you about a subject called God's gift at Christmas. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 2. We're going to be in verse number 10 through verse number 12. God's gift at Christmas. Last time we were together, we talked about peace on earth, and we were in Luke chapter 2 with the announcement of the angel. And this time we're going to back up a couple verses in Luke chapter 2, verse number 10 through verse number 12. Let's take a look at it together in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse number 10. The angel is speaking to the shepherds who were watching their flocks by night. And verse number 10 says this: "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.' Verse number 11: 'For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.' Verse number 12, we'll finish with this today, and this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Recently, I had a birthday, and one of the brothers here at the Rock Church brought me a gift at the back door. He apologized because he had wrapped it and, didn't do a very good job. He didn't have anything else, and so he wrapped it in the funny papers. Now, literally, he know that's one of my favorite styles of wrapping from when I was a kid, you know what I mean? Because when somebody wrapped it in the funny papers, that was almost like two gifts in one, wasn't it? Because then you got to get the gift, but you also got to sit and read the funny papers, you know? Calvin and Hobbes, Family Circle, right? Some of you guys like The Far Side, and it was just good to get a laugh. But I think that oftentimes when we take a look at this very natural thing, right, surrounding something that was a gift, it shows us how God views this time and this season. Because God took something so supernatural and he wrapped it in something so natural. This is deity robed in humanity. Jesus, the Son of God, coming in the form of a baby. So frail, so weak, so simple, so natural, and yet so divine, so wonderful, so majestic, so much so that his birth was announced by angels, so much so that the heavenly host came and they couldn't contain it any longer, and they praised and they sang in a wonderful, beautiful chorus that night. So special that a star lit up in the sky and guided men from the east to come, wise men, probably kings, to come and bear gifts before this amazing Messiah. And sometimes we feel like that at Christmas, don't we? We feel like that person that's a little bit out of place, a little bit out of sorts. It's just little old me. You know, I'm just in here in the church, and God is amazing and wonderful, but I'm so natural, and he is heavenly, but I am earthly. And we feel like the funny papers. We're not as exciting as the headlines. We're not as interesting as the entertainment section. We're not even as fast-paced as the sports page. It's just us, and we're kind of awkward, kind of funny, kind of out of sorts. And yet I find a principle when I take a look at the announcement of the angels to these shepherds. Remember, the shepherds were the outcasts. These guys were watching their flocks by night. They were out on the outskirts of town. They probably smelt like sheep. And they had to be out there tending to these sheep for other people to bring their sacrifices to the Lord. Here they were, and it was these working class, these outcasts, these just guys that were required for society, but they were kind of tolerated. And here they are, and the angel comes to them and announces to them Jesus' birth. See, I see the principle in this is that it pleased God to place the most heavenly gift in the most humblest of places. Think about that for a second. It pleased God Almighty to place the most heavenly gift, his Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This is God in the flesh. But he put him in the most humblest of places. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born with marble walls and big columns and gold pillars on the ceilings in the capitals. He wasn't even born in the capital city. He wasn't born in Jerusalem. He's born outside the city of Jerusalem in Bethlehem, this little old town, right? He wasn't surrounded by noblemen. He wasn't surrounded by the rich and the powerful, the wealthy. Herod wasn't there. The Sanhedrin wasn't there. None of the religious leaders of that time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, not even the scribes and the lawyers showed up, but a band of shepherds who were watching their flock by night. It pleased God to place the most heavenly gift in the humblest of surroundings. Poor young carpenter and his betrothed wife, Mary, who couldn't even find a spot at the inn. They had to go out and they had to go into the stables and find a manger. It pleased God to place the most heavenly gift in the humblest of places. And I find in this announcement of the angel a couple of things for us today that are going to show us about this gift that God gave to each and every one of us. First thing is this, is that the gift is for all. The gift of Christmas, the gift of the Christ child is for all. It's for everyone. Let's take a look at it once again in Luke chapter number 2 in verse number 10. Look at what the announcement of the angel says. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Now, the fact that Jesus came is good news, isn't it? Because we were all lost and dying, dead, and we were headed for hell on a slick pole. And some of us were helping out. Man, we were messed up. We were tore up from the floor up. God had to save some of us from the uttermost and some of us from the guttermost. And God saw us in that position, but yet he sent his son to save us. That is good news, and that ought to be a great joy to all of us. But notice he doesn't stop there. He says, "I bring you glad tidings of a great joy, which shall be to some people, which shall be to most people, to the rich people, to the religious, just to the select few." Oh, this is the white gospel, right? Because there's a white preacher up here preaching. This is the white people. It's to the whites, right? No. Is it to the black? This is a black gospel, right? No, this is to all people. God did not look at the color of your skin before he checked whether or not you could be saved. God took a look at your life and he said, "Do they believe?" And that was all he required. See, in our society, and in fact, in our flesh, things are getting polarized. We're pushing further and further away. And the things that people fought for just decades ago now are being divided and destroyed by the devil. Listen, this is not a natural fight. Don't think for a second this is just the foolishness of man, even though it is the foolishness of man. The devil is at work trying to divide, and not just out there in our society. He's trying to divide the church. But listen, if we realize that this gift is for all, we will not allow ourselves to be polarized and to be segregated and separated. You are my brother. You are my sister. It doesn't matter how much education you have or don't have. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. I don't care what side of the tracks you were born on. I don't care what side of the border you were born on. You are my brother, my sister. I love you. And guess what? We're going to worship God hand in hand, shoulder in shoulder, standing together, defending the faith, and we're going to worship God together forever. And listen, if you don't like black people, you don't like Mexicans, you don't like the Asians, you better get used to them because they're going to be in heaven with you. We cannot allow things to separate us and divide us. We've got to band together under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what God says in the book of Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3, verse number 21 and verse number 22. Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is speaking primarily to Jewish people. Oftentimes when he would roll into a new spot, he'd go to the synagogue and he'd talk to the Jews. But eventually he'd find his way to the Gentiles because God had called him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And so he starts talking some Jewish language, starts talking about the law and how the people who were born under the law had the law, and yet it wasn't the law that made them righteous, it was faith. And those who didn't have the law, that they could still believe God. Because even outside of the covenant, Abraham believed God even before he was circumcised. And so he starts talking about this. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 21 and verse 22, he makes an interesting statement. Look at what he says. He says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Verse 22, here's what I want to get. "Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference." I love that because you know what? If you cut anyone, it doesn't matter the color of their skin, they're going to bleed red. It doesn't matter if they're Democrat, Republican, pedestrian, doesn't matter what they are, right? There is no difference. All of us can see what God has done. All of us have the capacity to believe. God is no respecter of persons, and salvation is a gift of God that is available to all. Now, because of that fact, I wish more Christians, more people would just smile Come on, somebody. You look like you've been sucking on lemons all your life. You know, you go to church, you see people looking like this. Nobody wants to go to that church, church of the sucking on lemons. No one wants that. We want to go to a place that's authentically joyful and happy and pleased with what God is doing in our lives. Who cares what circumstances are surrounding me? I got the joy of the Lord in my heart. I wish people would laugh. I wish people would let their guard down. You know, you go to church and they're holding their Bible like it's a shield from other people. You know, people sit down and I need my man space, you know, get away from me. Don't touch me, right? My goodness. Let's stop it. Let's not allow the things that divide us to be stronger than the things which join us. Guys, we are bonded together by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no longer races. There's the human race. There's no longer Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. In the kingdom of God, there is just the children of God. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We're the body. We're connected. We're his house. We're functioning together for the glory of God. This gift is for all. It's for everybody. It's for the distant islands. It's for the people that you don't like. It's for the people that you do like. It's for your relatives. Come on, somebody. This is for everybody. The gift is for all. But how many of you know there's a difference when there's a group gift and a personal gift? You know, we've given our kids group gifts, you know. Hey, guys, we've got you a basketball court or something like that, you know, and everybody gets to play, and that's always fun. And we know, you know, when you've been included in the group, you know, maybe at work they gave you all a day off or something like that, and that was the group gift, you know, everybody got a piece of that. Maybe it was a meal, or you told your kids, hey, we're taking a trip to Hawaii, yay, right? Everybody gets to go together, that's fine. Salvation is for all, that's awesome. But there's quite a difference when the gift is for me. And I see this in this scripture, in this passage. You ever been at one of those white elephant gift things? You know, everybody gets a gift. You all bring a gift. You put it in there. Everybody's looking at the wrappings, right? You got these little teeny tiny gifts. And you go, that's a gift card. I'm not touching that one, right? Then you see that massive box, and everybody's fighting over it, right? They're passing it around. Somebody has the steal, right? They've got the power of veto. You can't steal now. It's my turn. I'm going to take it. I'm going to give it to them, and I'm going to take this one. That big box is passed around a lot, doesn't it? And at the end, it's almost as if everybody is sitting there wondering what is going to come out of this thing. And they open the big box, and then there's a little box inside. And then they open the little box, and there's an even smaller box inside. And they open the small box, and there's an envelope inside. And they open that up, and it's like a $5 Starbucks gift card that somebody already used $2.75 on. It's like, why would you bring that? What's wrong with you? But then everybody's laughing like, thank God I didn't get that gift. Look at my gift card. It was $100, you know, and they're all waving it in their face. But see, it's something different when it's just for me. We get caught up in life. We get caught up in pressures. We get caught up in cares. I think of the stay-at-home mom who was working hard one day, and she had four kids running around. It was Christmas break, and she's trying to vacuum and clean up and cook dinner for, you know, the family that was coming over that night. And all the pressures, all the cares were on her shoulders. And just then, wouldn't you know it, somebody's knocking at the front door. And so she goes to the front door, and she opens it up and looks, and here's somebody collecting, of course. And ma'am, we're collecting for the new children's home that's being built. Anything that you can spare would be a blessing. She says, I've got four for you, two boys and two girls, or you can have one of each. I don't care. Just get out of here. Luke chapter 2, though, verse number 11, take a look at it with me. The angel is speaking, and he says this in Luke chapter number 2 once again. He says, for there is born to you this day. See, this was good news of a great joy that would be to all people, but he says, now he changes his tone, he changes the direction of the statement, and shepherds, you guys, hey, the outcast, hey, the discouraged, hey, those that are up in the middle of the night wondering how they're going to make it, what they're going to do, those of you that don't feel like you have a big purpose, those of you that felt like you were forgotten by God, guess what? Unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God saw humanity in its fallen state, but even beyond that, he saw you, and God saw you there in that lowly position, and he came down in the form of a baby so that you could be saved. Do you know the Bible says that on the cross that Jesus saw your face individually and personally? You were the joy that was set before him that made him able to endure and suffer the scorn of the cross and the shame that came against him. It was your face that as he was getting beaten, allowed him to take courage and continue on. You were the joy that was set before him so that he could endure the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4 and verse number 5 in the J.B. Phillips New Testament paraphrase writes this. I'll put it up on the overhead so you can follow along. He says, but when the proper time came, God sent his son, born of a human mother, and born under the jurisdiction of the law, that he might redeem those who were under the authority of the law, look at this, and lead us into becoming, by adoption, the true sons of God. Now, we know all of us, when we were born again, that we were born into the family of God, that we are now children of God. We're king's kids. But here in Galatians chapter 4, he uses a different term. He uses the term not birth, not born again. He uses the term adoption. And there was a specific reason why he uses this term. Because Jesus at one point told the religious leaders of his day that you are of your father, the devil. See, before we were in Christ Jesus, we were in another family. And our father was the devil. He was the father of all lies. He was a murderer from the beginning. Violence was found in him. And now we are sons of the devil when we are operating in the flesh and when we're operating outside of the Spirit of God. And so here we are, and we were lost. But you know what? Our father, the devil, he didn't take very good care of us, did he? Kicked us when we were down, tried to drag us to hell with him. He was a bad father for all of us. He abandoned us. And the Bible tells us that we were kept under a tutor, a schoolmaster called the law, that would tell us, hey, you're wrong. Hey, you stepped out of line. Hey, that's not the way that you should act. That was the purpose of the law, was to keep us until the time of Reformation came. And now here we see that we were kept under the law until Jesus came. And now we have received the adoption as the children of God. What does that mean? That means that God saw you and selected you as his child. Now, I know that this can be a very painful thing for individuals. I've had friends who have been adopted, and they had deep hurts and wounds from that adoption. They were wondering what happened with their parents and why they didn't want them. And I'm not here to discourage you or to make you feel bad. But there was a woman who actually attended the first service this morning, and she's a wonderful woman in our church for a number of years. And she shared with me with a smile her story of being adopted. And she said every year on her birthday, her parents would remind her of the story of the day that they went to the hospital, that they looked over all the babies in the hospital ward, and they saw her, and they said, that's her. We're going to get a hold of her. We're going to raise her as our own, and she is ours, and she's very special because we chose her to be in this family. See, other people, they didn't get to be chosen. You know, they were selected by God and placed in that family. But listen, those that were adopted, they were chosen to be brought into that family. And she said with a smile, I'm so glad that they loved me and that they cared for me and brought me up as their own. It makes me feel special. And that was her story, but that's all of our story in Jesus Christ. Because God saw you abandoned. God saw you broken. God saw you lost and headed for hell. And God says, that's my child. I want them in my family. I want to take care of them. I want to bring them to myself. They're going to be mine. They will be called by my name. They will be my child, and they will be under my roof, and I will feed them, and I will love them, and I will care for them, and I will clothe them, and they will be raised up and called sons and daughters of the Almighty God. So the gift is for all, but the gift is for me. But not only that, the gift is in me. The gift is in me. Verse number 12 in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 12 this time. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Now, I was thinking about this for a second, because to find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, that wouldn't have been too weird. That wouldn't have been too out of the ordinary. In fact, for centuries, nations and peoples have been wrapping their babies in swaddling cloths. When we had our first daughter, for 3 months she had colic. And so she cried for 3 straight months. And as new parents, we did not know what to do. We were up during the day. We were up during the night. We were there. We were taking it. Good thing that I'm a night owl and she's an early bird, right? Because I would take the first shift at the night and I would do the baby bounce all night. You know what the baby bounce is, right? That's where you just get the baby bouncing so that the baby can't cry because they're being bounced so much that they're like, meh. Wah, 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 you know, and that way the other person that's sleeping, they can actually sleep, because that's a whole lot better than wah, you know. So here we are doing the baby bounce. Well, one night I remember I was doing the baby bounce, not even that was working. It's just like wah. after a while, I just lifted her up, you know, and it wasn't the Simba lift, you know, like in The Lion King. It was like, Lord, take her, because I don't know what to do with her right now. But somebody came along, I don't even remember who it was, and they said, why don't you wrap her up and put her to bed? And we're like, what are you talking about? We've tried. Man, we put her down, she cries. We pick her up, she cries. We do an And they took her, and they took a blanket, and they wrapped her, and they tucked in the arm, and they wrapped the legs up real tight, and then they folded this. And I mean, it was like a burrito. And they handed the baby to us, and she was like, I looked at my wife and said, where were they 3 months ago? Come on, God. I haven't slept for 3 months. But after that, it was like anytime she'd start crying, I'd be like, oh, here we go, right? Let's swaddle this kid. Yeah, tuck it in, you know, and get that baby and do the bounce and wah. Praise the Lord. Some of you young parents, some of you old parents, you know what I'm talking about, right? So it wouldn't have been uncommon to find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, but what would have been uncommon was finding that baby wrapped in a manger. Because that's a feeding trough for animals. One of these things is not like the others, right? You've got the cows, the sheep, the donkeys, but then you've got a young couple with a baby? That'd be out of place. But can you imagine for a second Joseph and Mary? Here they are. And Jesus' birth had a supernatural beginning. Announcements by angels, dreams, right? Take your wife to you, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Be it unto me, as thou hast said. Here, see your maidservant, right? Supernatural beginnings. She goes to see her cousin, the baby John, right? Leaps in her womb and starts doing backflips and Olympic sprints, right? And all of a sudden, she's prophesying, and then they're singing songs. It's like a Bollywood dance number. I mean, it's just amazing how this thing got started, isn't it? That was the beginning of his birth, but the end of his birth was very natural. Because here they are going to Bethlehem. Here they are in the midst of a census, and everybody is all over the place. There's people, there's crowds, there's lines. Joseph was probably headed for the line to go and to register for the census. Let's get this done so we can get out of here. When all of a sudden Mary's going, Joseph? And her water had broke. And pains had started to come upon her. And so Joseph, probably frantic, takes Mary in his arms and starts running door to door. Hey, do you got a room? Hey, can you help us? Hey, what's going on? Can somebody help me here? And finally, he makes it to the inn where people have been pointing him all along. And he gets there and he says, hey, do you have any rooms? The guy says, you should have been on Expedia and Travelocity like a month ago. We don't have any rooms available. And so he sends him out, and he says, if you can find some room down there in the stables, you're welcome to it. Out of desperation, probably as the pains are growing deeper and the cries are getting louder and things are getting sharper, and she's saying, Jesus, get your foot out of my rib cage, right? She's ready to have this baby, and the most unlikely midwife in the world, Joseph, who was betrothed. They had not consummated the marriage, guys. He had not seen that part of Mary's life yet, and now here we are. And he's got to deliver this baby because there ain't nobody else to do it. Maybe he'd seen a calf being born or something like that on the farm, but now here he is delivering a human child into the world. And here comes Jesus. They probably cleaned him up and cleared his lungs, got him there. And there's an awe, there's a wonder when a baby comes into the world. I've been there for all three of my children's births. It's an amazing supernatural thing. In fact, my mother-in-law, Pastor Deborah, was there for our second child, and she was just in wonder and in awe, and she starts preaching the gospel and prophesying. I'm like, can somebody get her out of here? We're having a baby, you know? Like, that's just mom. Yeah. But here we are, and we're having this baby, and there's a wonder. And I would imagine the supernatural presence of God was there as the Messiah comes onto the planet, as he breathes his first breath. And Joseph and Mary probably stared. This is the one whom the angel spoke. This is Jesus who will save the people from their sins. But that awe and that wonder was probably broken by something very natural. You know what that was? Wah! Wah! Because Jesus was a baby. And he probably got hungry. And so he had to cling to his mother's side. Jesus had to nurse. And after he nursed, he probably had a good burp and then went to sleep. And Mary, knowing a little bit more than this guy knew, probably wrapped him up in those swaddling cloths, looking around for a crib because they're exhausted, found the only crib that they could find, a manger, a feeding trough for animals. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. In the Japanese society, they have something called furoshiki. I'm probably murdering that word, but roll with me, all right? Furoshiki is the art of wrapping gifts, food items, clothing, different things that you're carrying. And the wrapping is what's really interesting about it. They have different places that they'll tie it, different ways that they'll tie it. Sometimes they'll make it look like flowers in the folds of the wrapping. Sometimes they'll have different colored fabrics or fabrics that have special meanings. And as they wrap that gift and present it to someone else, the receiver stops to pause and appreciate and look at the surroundings of this gift. See, I believe that Christmas is a time that God gave us some furoshiki in his son, Jesus Christ, because he wrapped deity in humanity. And in the garment that Jesus wore, in that earth suit, God placed something that was so natural and yet so beautiful that we have to pause for a moment and we have to take a look and appreciate the gift and appreciate the craft of what God had placed in our hands and in our lives. Because we find that deity wrapped in humanity is something supernatural and extraordinary, wrapped up in the natural and in the ordinary. But then the sign was this, that you'll find this ordinary thing placed in extraordinary circumstances. And maybe this Christmas you're looking at your life and you're saying, you know what, I feel like I'm in the midst of extraordinary circumstances. It feels like someone pulled the rug out from underneath me. I was going strong, I was in faith, but man, there's pressures on my life, there's stressors, there's things that are taking place. Man, people are mad, people are just crazy, they've lost their minds around me. And you find yourself in the midst of extraordinary circumstances wondering how you're going to make it. I'm here to tell you today that you're going to make it for one reason and one reason only, because the gift is in you. With Jesus Christ in your life, you can make it. With Jesus Christ in your life, you can do all things. With Jesus Christ, you have the extraordinary God in the flesh, and now he's wrapped him, not in the flesh of Jesus any longer. Jesus said, it's expedient for me to go to my Father, because unless I go, I can't send you the Holy Ghost. But guess what, guys? I'm not going to leave you orphans. No, I have adopted you. The gift is for everybody. The gift is for you. But guess what? I'm going to send the gift to be in you. You have the Holy Spirit. Let's stop crying about what we don't have. You have everything that you need in Christ Jesus. And now Jesus, the gift, is in you. God gave you that gift, and he wrapped you up like furoshiki, and he tied your life around Jesus Christ. And now you have the will of God and the way of God on the inside of you. Let me show this to you in the Word. There's a band of 12 men called the disciples. We find them in Mark chapter number 16. In fact, you're there in Luke. Turn just a couple pages over, right to the end of Mark. Find the last verse in the book of Mark, verse number 20. Very last verse in the book of Mark. I'm so glad that God included this ragtag bunch of men, aren't you? Because it shows me that there's hope for me. Because I can be a chucklehead at times. I can get lifted up in pride. I can think that I'm all that in a bag of chips. I can think that I've got the goods, right? And yet, the disciples were a lot like that. We find them fighting about who is the greatest. Jesus had to rebuke him. What were you guys talking about there on the road? And they're like, nothing. And Jesus knew what they were doing. And so he brought a little kid, a little child, and says, unless you become like him, you ain't going to make it, guys. Come on, let's get this on point. Let's get this right where it needs to be. Don't be lifted up in pride. These guys, they get sent before Jesus. He's headed towards Jerusalem, but he was going to go through Samaria again. And they go to a Samaritan village, and the Samaritans say, we don't want Jesus. If he's going to Jerusalem, he's not welcome here. They go back to Jesus, and they say, hey, they said no. Do you want us to call down fire out of heaven on them and burn them up like Elijah did? And Jesus had to tell them, you guys don't know what spiritual. I'm not here to destroy people's lives. I'm here to save people's lives. Come on, get it, guys. They're arguing. Two of them, their mama came to them and said, hey, boys, go and get you a good spot in the kingdom of God. Ask Jesus if you can be one on the right and one on the left. Go on, boys, go get you your place. And here they come. Jesus, we'd like to know something about sitting on the right hand and left. He said, you guys think that you can be baptized with the baptism that I will be baptized with? And they said, uh-huh. Jesus said, well, yeah, you are going to. But guess what, guys? That's not for me to give, all right? That's for the people who's been prepared for. See, these guys had all sorts of stuff going on. They didn't know what they were doing. They were just with Jesus trying to figure life out. And even though they were with Jesus, they still had shortcomings, failures, and failings. Still were in the flesh. And I'm so glad that God chose these guys to be his apostles, because we see something take place, that when they get the gift on the inside of them, something happens. Something took place. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 20, look at it. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Now, Jesus was in heaven, but he was working with them. How? Through the gift that was in them, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. And confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Now, that word accompanying signs is the same word that the angel used, that you will find a sign. This shall be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths. Notice that the apostles' signs were that as they preached the word, as the gift that was in them got out of them, that God started to show a sign that this natural man who is wrapping around something supernatural, this extraordinary thing placed in extraordinary times and extraordinary circumstances, that as we declare the word of God, something happens. The gift starts to get out of you and it takes over, and supernaturally God anoints it and God blesses it and God uses it as the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. God wants you to be a witness. God wants you to be a sign. He wants you to be the road post pointing to heaven. He wants you to be someone that when people look at your life and say, wait a second, you're just like me. You're so natural. You come from the same background. We come from the same family. How is it that you're blessed and yet I'm over here and I feel like I'm cursed? How is it that you're succeeding and I feel like I'm failing? And all you got to do is start to lift up and to declare the word of God. Let that gift that's in you get out of you and start giving it away. And as you declare the word of God over your life, over your family, over your community, over your finances, over your future, your destiny, your dreams and vision, as you start to let the gift that's in you get on the outside of you, God will confirm it and he will use you as the gift to a lost and dying, broken and hurting world. God wants to use you as Furoshiki. He wants to wrap your life around the supernatural gift that he gave us at Christmas, Jesus Christ himself. That baby didn't stay little. He grew up. He became a man. In fact, he confounded the wise men of his day at age 12. The Spirit of God anointed him about 30 years old when he was baptized. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He went to the cross and he died and he gave his life. And he has ascended on high now. And now he gives us his Spirit. And now you are the gift of God to the world. God is using you. The gift is for all. The gift is for me, and the gift is in me. If you guys got something from the word of the Lord today, come on, give God a great big praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.